Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. 9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us at Provocative Thought Community Organization on Facebook. Tonight's topic, till death do us part. Just what should we part with? Divorce, Dr. Dre, Nicole, and the prenuptial. Dr. Dre's wife, Nicole, is petitioning the court for about $2 million a month in alimony fees. Would a prenuptial agreement have made an easier solution? In the spirit of learning from someone else's mistakes, let's take a look at this extraordinary situation. Of course, we're looking from the outside because we have no business in it at all. So, from a provocative thought, if you are thinking about getting married, try to give it as much thought as you gave your latest proud purchase. It is logical to conclude, in the best case scenario, right? Because we don't live in a perfect world. We know that. Best case scenario, that people don't get married to divorce. Okay, we eliminating all the schemers and things like that. But just some folks, they meet, they fall in love, they get married, had kids or whatever, no kids, whatever. So most of the best case scenario, that happens. People choose to get married. They don't do it to divorce, right? It is also logical to conclude that divorce happens, and it happens often, right? It would behoove us to be prepared for the worst that can happen. It just makes sense. Especially while everybody's, in their right mind. It just makes a lot of sense to me. I said, what do you think? A friend of mine informed me that marriage is a contract, a binding legal agreement with rewards and consequences. That being true, there should be no problem getting a prenuptial agreement. If you get, I don't know if people get married viewing it as a contract, a legal binding agreement or not, but if you do see it as that, you should have no problem getting a prenuptial agreement. At least that's what I think. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world. So, from the professionals, Forbes said, a prenup or prenuptial is a contract entered into prior to marriage. The content of a prenuptial agreement can vary widely, but it commonly includes provisions for spousal support and division of assets in a divorce. And I think that's about all you have right there, right? You have money you're going to have to give to somebody, and you have pay things you own, right? That's about everything, that they want your shoes and stuff like that, the fruit of the looms, whatever. Anyway, Harvard Education, they say, yet only 5 to 10% of marrying Americans get prenuptial agreement. A good prenuptial agreement can even exert a positive force on a healthy marriage. So, Harvard, right? They're saying that Harvard Education is saying that prenuptial is good for a healthy marriage. So I'm kind of in agreement with them, because if you have an umbrella, right? It's not always raining, but you have an umbrella, so you at least anticipate when it's going to rain. So you have to use your umbrella when it does rain. So that's a healthy way of thinking. So I tend to have this agree with Harvard Education. But I'm not expert. Have been married, so I would think that that would be healthy for the relationship. Jackson White, attorney at law, says, while there are countless divorce studies with conflicting statistics, the data points to two periods during a marriage when divorces are most common. 1 to 2 years, 5 to 8 years. I know I heard of the 7-year itch, but I guess you had to go 8 now, so according to these studies. Anyway, still relevant. It's 1 year difference is not a big deal in terms of calculation. Of course, two high-risk periods, right? Of those two high-risk periods, there are 2 years in particular that stand out as the most common years for divorce. That's how they get the 7-year itch, the 7 and 8 year period. So let's say they stand out the most. So I guess a lot of people don't make it here. Bam, bam, the 7 to 8 thing is most when most people are alive. I guess the 1 to 2 year old year people must be those Las Vegas marriages, so shotgun marriages or whatever. I don't know. I'm pregnant. I'm marrying you, and I definitely didn't want to kind of marriage. I don't know. Thought I was in love, but yuck. I don't love you. You snore. You whatever you do. Thing. So I don't know. And it's not a not to make light of this. If this is a very serious situation with those people who are in it, have been in it, and you know, going through this type of thing. You know, because I can't imagine marrying somebody, hoping to be with them forever, and then them leaving. For whatever reason, even if they're wrong, is I think that would be a very tragic experience. I can understand that. But anyway, 7 to 8, that stands out the most. Psychology Today says past statistics, right, have shown that in the U.S., 50% of first marriages, right, 67% of second marriages, and 73% of third marriages end in divorce. Okay? So, I mean, you can look at it, 50% don't end in divorce. You can look at it that way. Half full, half empty, right? But the point here that they're making is that people do get divorced. It's not uncommon. It's not an uncommon thing in the people who have been married, who marry again, 67% of them, it increases the more times you get married, the chances of you getting divorced. But there are some people, even if that 67%, there are some who make it. That leaves, what, 33%, right? 7, 10, 43%, right? 33%. Anyway, still tells you there's a certain percent of people, it's small. Like the smaller the percentage of people that survive the remarriage, right? Subsequent marriage means after you were married before, previously married. It gets smaller and smaller the more times you get married. And I heard of some people getting married like a lot of times too. And so that's consistent with that for those individuals. The American Psychological Association says marriage and divorce are both common experiences in Western cultures. More than 90% of people marry by age 50. Okay, I guess you want to get married before you lose the ability to capitalize on the perks of marriage. So healthy marriages are good for couples' mental and physical health. I mean, we can translate that. Healthy anything is good for your mental and physical health. So you can't argue with that. A healthy marriage is good for your mental and physical health. They're also good for the children, right? They say growing up in a happy home, right? Protect the children from mental, physical, educational, and social problems. You know, because you're there, right there. They have an issue, fam. You're right on top of it, right? Communicating with your children, things like that, right? You guiding their education, right? and, you know, give them social, spiritual, ethical guidance that makes sense. That's a healthy marriage there. It's healthy parenting. So healthy marriages equal healthy parenting. However, like he said, about 40-50% of married couples in the United States divorce. 40-50%. So the divorce rate for subsequent marriages, right? That's like bigamy, or, you know, subsequent means after something. So while prior marriage exists, right? That's what they call bigamy. You got a wife and you married somebody else. It's even higher, let's say. So you got a wife, you go marry somebody else, or the chances that you are going to divorce with that person is higher than it was. It's higher than the 40-50%, but it was what they said was 67%. So healthy divorce, how to make your split as smooth as possible. So as I said, separation or divorce is going to be emotionally difficult, at least emotionally difficult, right? I said, but it's a way to have a healthy breakup, which is interesting. As I said, nobody enters a marriage expecting to fail. Still, more than 20% of first marriages end in divorce within 5 years, and 48% of marriages dissolve by the 20-year mark. So I guess if you make it past 20 years, I guess you are doing pretty good. Because I used to think it was 7 years, but looks like you got 13 more years to go. That's according to 2006-2010 data from the government's National Survey of Family and Growth. Separation and divorce are mostly difficult events, right? Which I'm sure they are. But it's possible to have a healthy breakup from an emotionally difficult event. They say the things you need is cooperation, communication, and meditation. That's something new right there, you know. Listen, the end of a marriage is typically unleashes a flood of emotions, anger, grief, anxiety, fear, to name a few things, right? They said it catches people off guard, right? They said, but it's normal to have those feelings, and over time, the intensity of these feelings will subside. So, you know, basically you get over it to a point where you're not walking around angry, sad, not eating, fearful, and things like that. So they say you should be kind to yourself. The researchers found out, I don't know why I take researchers for this, but this is logical, being kind to yourself and compassionate to them, people who are that way, kind and compassionate to themselves, have an easier time managing the day-to-day difficulties of a divorce. Okay. Trying to think about the breakup as a battle. That's very difficult if when you have somebody trying to take something from you you don't want them to take. But they say try not to look at it as a battle. Divorce mediation, not meditation. Divorce mediation is often a good alternative to courtroom proceedings. So you need a mediator. I guess meditation might help too, but excuse me, I read that wrong. Mediation. So they say get a mediation can be beneficial for emotional satisfaction, spousal relationships, and children's needs. I know some people would disagree with that because of you adding somebody else in your business, a third party in your business. But if you can't talk and you can talk to somebody else, you know, sometimes things like that will work. Anyway, sitting down to speak with your soon-to-be ex-spouse may be the last thing you want to do, but cooperation and communication make divorce healthier for everyone involved. I guess it would make it more healthier than you guys having an all-out war. Talking things through with a psychologist may help you reach coordinated decisions with a minimum of conflict. See, 'cause there's going to be something going on, right? And And I can't imagine when it comes to money, especially people who don't have a lot, and you don't have a lot of property, that there's going to be some serious conflict. It can be difficult to remember important details when emotions are running high. Pick a time when you're feeling calm to write down all the points you want to discuss, right? Just everything you want to say, write it down, right? And they say, consider handling some of the details over email if you can't talk. You know what I'm saying? So those are just the ways to communicate. Find ways, the basic thing is find ways to communicate that you feel comfortable with. Right? When kids are involved, right, you got to do your best to keep any conflict away from the kids. Ongoing parental conflict increases kids' risk of psychological and social problems. They're no longer a healthy marriage, no longer a healthy household may impact on healthy parenting because now children are being exposed to your anxiety, your fear, your grief, and things like that. Okay, so you want to look out for the kids. It's often helpful for the boys and parents to come up with a plan and present it to their children together. So y'all going to separate. You got to sit down and have a little powwow with the family. Family meeting, right? You know, keep the lines of communications open. Kids benefit from having honest conversations about changes their family is experiencing. That's not a guarantee your kid won't freak out, but it's better than not doing it. At least you put a foot forward and you try to do something, right? In many cases, sudden change can be hard on a child, right? If appropriate, give them a few weeks' notice before moving them to a new home or before one spouse moves out. So let the kids know there's some of that things pop up on the kid. Where's mom? Where's dad? You know, where's my older brother? You know, he went to go live with your father. You know, wow. You know, that can be a shock to a child. It could be helpful to minimize changes such as much as possible in the months and years following a divorce. Kids do better when they maintain close contact with both parents. Right? Take care of yourself, right? As you said previously. Tap into your support network. Turn to your family and friends for assistance and comfort. Or seek formal support groups. And stay positive. As positive as you can. Try getting involved in activities you used to love but haven't done in a while. Try new hobbies. Stay physically healthy by eating right and getting exercise. That's just a normal thing that we need to do, and that's why I say stack. Hopefully you've been doing that, and you know, stay physically healthy or be physically healthy if you haven't. Become. So psychologists can help. We were talking about the psychologists can help with help you deal with your emotions and adjust the changes. They also help you think carefully about what went wrong in your marriage and how you can avoid repeating any negative patterns in your next relationship. All right? So, fun provocative thought. Based on the divorce rate, seems a healthy marriage should have a healthy prenuptial agreement. Making critical decisions while you are emotionally stable, together, and communicating beats the apocalyptic scenario that can occur 1-2, 7-8, or as in Dre's case, 24 years down the line. Not that Dre's divorce is anybody's business, but I'd like to take this time to use this as an example to hash over if by some freak of nature, it was my business. Who knows? It may just be my business one day, though I hope not. Personally, since about 40 to 50% of marriages often end in divorce, I am perplexed as to why people don't have a prenuptial agreement covering all possible bases, especially if they have fat pockets. It's a prophylactic, a parachute, a fire extinguisher, a butyrol pump, a defibrillator, depending on how the separation hits you. It is at least financial insurance in case the person you stole, who stole your heart, turns out to be the person trying to steal your money and possessions. You know, do something before something happens. Have an umbrella for a rainy day. The sun is shining. Nothing wrong with buying an umbrella, right? You buy boots, snow boots. Doesn't have to snow all year. You still have snow boots just in case it snows. So, you know, whether you like the snow or not, you know, if you hate the snow, you have snow boots, you know, to help you deal with the snow, you know. Some say alimony is a way of maintaining psychosocial economic face while avoiding the embarrassment of a fall from wealth down to a very ordinary life. Nobody I know has ever taken that kind of fall. I don't know anybody like that. I know of this situation with Dr. Dre and his wife. But I'm sure a man with less money, his money is just important to him as his Dre's millions are. And I think Dre, I don't know if he's a billionaire or not. I think he is maybe just a billionaire, but he's just a billionaire. He's not really like Mr. Deep Pockets like Bezos or the guy that's trying to vaccine everybody, Bill Gates. We have a caller already. Hello, welcome to the Glock of the Start.
Hey, Colton.
Welcome.
Listened to your show on this topic, and it made me think how finance and marriage is for black folks as opposed to white folks under the condition, because you just mentioned about a prenup. Most black folks ain't coming in with that type of money or the idea that the person that they're going to be with is out for anything other than love and, you know, companionship.
Right.
And a lot of times you start out without nothing and you gain it. And sometimes you gain it together. You know, so you're not looking at, well, I got $1 million or $1 billion. She don't want this, want that, because we started out like this and it was here with me. But then the culture changed. Well, it didn't change, because it's always been about money. We just didn't see it as black folks because we didn't have money. But the design is about money. Most people get married with the idea of something spiritual and the church. You know what I mean? The marriage vows, it says what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So that means ain't no judge, ain't no lawyers, it's nobody. But the marriage certificate and the license, that comes from the state, and the state is about money. And taking that into account, the whole thing is about slavery also. So whatever belongs to the state, whatever belongs to you belongs to the state. So that means your marriage, your house, your children, everything. So when they get a divorce, the state is coming in and they divvying up and they're going into your pockets. They don't really care about what the wife gets, because even if she gets $1 million, they're still going to get millions. So it's all about wealth. It's all about your money.
Well, how's the
so
state
two people
money?
That's getting married.
How's the state get money? How does the state get money?
Well, the state gets money. Maybe I'm not saying this right. Maybe not. Well, I'm going to say it is the state. It is the state. Because the judges get money. The real estate companies get money. The lawyers get money. Everybody gets. All of these people get money. In fact, they had a poll out that talked about divorce, and they said that more wealth is created. Banks depend on divorce. They don't depend on people staying together and keeping and buying the house. The turnover is better. If you don't make it through, they get the house back, they resell it, refinance it, lawyers get paid, judges get paid, It's money in the disaster.
You're saying divorce creates generates money, people making money.
It generates money.
Well, real estate, lawyers and stuff like that who pay taxes, and so it generates money.
Right.
Okay, right. Well, people seek out attorneys for avoid divorces. You all right?
That is correct.
Okay, so the people are initiating that. Whoever's seeking out an attorney to go to court, they are initiating. Nobody's coming to your house saying, I'm from the state. I'm here to, administrate your divorce. You had to ask for that.
Yep. Yep.
But so, a long time ago, before it got to that point, it was family members that tried to bring that together, to avoid divorce and avoid all of that. And then there's also religious practices, like in Islam, you're getting a divorce, you divorce your wife or she divorced you, you already know you're allotted to pay a certain amount of money for your children. It's honorable, but they're not going to do it where they know it's dishonorable and she didn't come in with wealth. You know what I mean? She ain't going to walk out because you made millions of dollars running footballs, playing basketball, or risking your life singing about some hardcore music and doing shows. She didn't do that. But she will be allotted something.
But yeah, by law in some states, alimony is, attainable. So, you think about the prenup. Period.
Well,
poor, rich or poor.
I feel as though with being that you coming into a situation with a complete total stranger and you plan to, everyone wants to gain some type of wealth. It doesn't even have to be wealth. It could be something that was left to you. Your parents left you this house. Here comes a stranger. You fall in love with them. 5 years later, 10 years later, they don't want you no more. They feel as though that house should be part theirs. They didn't pay for it. It was left to you, but they feel as though, hey, I should get pieces of it. But I feel as though there should be prenups, and it shouldn't have anything to do whether you love a person. It should have something to do with I love myself enough and you enough to protect us and my future. So, yeah, it should be prenup. But right, the contract should already be there anyway. Before you even pick the person, you should kind of know what you're getting yourself into. But because we don't, yeah, it should be a prenup.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, rich or poor. If you're rich, if you have any property and assets, you definitely need a prenup. And like you said, if you're living in a project, what are you going to take? Your sneakers? That's what you're saying, right? We both on welfare. I'm working a job with minimum wage, just a little above minimum wage. We're barely making it. What are you going to take from that person?
Right.
Well, we know what they're going to
do. I think
part of their income.
I think that it should be just as it is if you're doing child support or anything else and they look at the income, but I think it should be based off of real life situations. Like, what are you actually bringing to the table? Because women are walking away that are marrying guys that got millions of dollars and they're talking about, I put my career on the line because he doesn't want me to work. That's a bunch of crap. You chose not to work because you chose
that.
To go after men who have millions of dollars. So that's a choice. Then, they're saying, I'm accustomed to this particular lifestyle. Well, how did you become accustomed to that lifestyle? Because you didn't do any physical work.
So what you're saying?
I'm sorry, say again?
So what you're saying, she's accustomed to that lifestyle, and what? You don't get it no more because he don't want her or she don't want him? Well, how is that going?
Well, when you cut yourself off from the source that you're accustomed for, you don't get to carry that on. You don't get it because that person is accustomed to. He might be accustomed to coming home and seeing his wife there. Now he don't have it.
Hey, that's a good point right there. That's an excellent point. Okay, so no more marital privileges. You just took that away from
him. Yeah, right. Right. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't get anything, but it should be based off of something that's real. You know, like if anybody should be in those battles like that, I'm thinking it's probably going to be a nanny, a maid, somebody else that's in that household is cooking those dinners, because, you know, I'm quite sure a lot of them women is not cooking the dinners, not taking care of the kids, because they're talking about what they're accustomed to, you know, and it don't sound like they were doing all the duties that a woman who doesn't have a man with a lot of money do. You know what I mean? Well, so I can understand it.
In the case of Nicole, you know, $2 million a month, that's not cooking greens in the house, right?
Absolutely.
That's not making up beds or anything like that. So that's for that's spending money. Cost to,
right,
you know, to me.
Yeah.
Cost to, you know, keep up, maintain a lifestyle.
Yeah, you used to give him $100,000 away as charity, but you didn't make $100,000. Someone else did. You know, so.
But that means that somebody else gave $100,000, but she was just able to get them to donate the money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So,
okay, well,
you know.
Go ahead.
So they should be able to prove their worth, because apparently the person who made the wealth was able to prove their worth. You know, like I say, whether it was football player, basketball player, you know, or producer or entertainer, you know, they're showing what they had to physically do to maintain that person's living status for them. So they need to prove, on the opposite side, what have you done, you know, in this marriage that said that you should get this, that, you know, because that would go for any and everybody then. I can't understand how one woman is worth millions of dollars and she don't do no more than another woman, and that woman's not worth millions of dollars just based off of what their partner makes or what they have acquired together. So it doesn't make sense. Because it's almost like saying she's a better mother and she's worth millions of dollars, or her private parts is better than everybody else, so she deserves millions of dollars. What did she do?
Well, here's what they say she did. What she did was she entered a contract which says that we are now one. Yours is mine, mine is yours. That's what she did. Has nothing to do with her private parts or whether she makes the bed good or not. It has something to do with the contract. The contract says, what's yours is mine, what's mine is yours. I got $2, you got $2 billion. You can sue me for one of my two, but I'm going to sue you for one of your billion.
Well, then that's not an actual divorce or separation. You still connected to this person because they still provide for you. So there is no divorce. That sounds like I paid for you. I own you. And it sounds like that could be a scam, because at any given time, this person can choose to say any old thing. And, you know, just I stayed there for thus time waiting. So it shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't. They should come up with a percentage that the spouse will get, male or female, based off of the evidence of why they can't reconcile their marriage and why this person needs to maintain that lifestyle. You know,
if they just woke up one day, I don't want to be in this marriage, they shouldn't get nothing. That's what you're basically saying, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But if they woke up one day and their husband was knocking the maid off in the bathroom, then they got a better grounds for a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And even with that, for those that have money, I feel as though that before anybody gets a divorce or anything, they should be go through counseling. They should be, you know, automatically go through some type of counseling, and someone else comes in and says, all right, well, this, look, we allotted this amount of time and the evidence holds, and this is what we feel, this is what we find. But not just because. You know, not just because.
Not because you're tired of playing the game.
So absolutely.
It's not something you just step out of because, oh, I don't want to do this no more. Just don't wake up in the morning, don't want to be married.
And that's it, the idea way of Hollywood and those of wealth. The idea of marriage is novel to these people, to some of them, not all of them, but it seems like it's more novel than it is, you know, something that they cherish and you know, really look forward to having.
So some people say alimony is validated because they actually were instrumental in the accumulation of wealth. And I'm sure there are those who truly were and some of those who truly were not, right? But people say that, right? So you
right.
should prove that. Those who say that should prove, how did you help this person earn 1 cent? Right?
Yep.
Or whatever. How did you, what did
right.
you do? And it can't be, I was your wife, right?
Right.
Can't be, I cooked the meals. All right? Can't be any of your wifely mm-hmm. responsibilities because you don't get paid to be a wife. Or do you? Because I'm starting to think you do.
Well, I don't know, you know, being paid, but I know, you know, through the history of this country and, you know, coming from a European standard, you know, there were men who said, I don't want my wife working, she's going to be at home. But then that wife would also have an allotment that she would get. You know, she had a certain amount of money that was given to her for the household and then money that was given for her personally because that man didn't want her to work. And a lot of those women, some of those white women were educated, you know, but they believe that I want a man that can provide for me. And I'm going to do this for him. So when he comes home, he's not going to have to worry about a meal being cooked and the house being clean. I'm going to give him the peace and the comfort. So my energy is going to go into making sure that I keep this person stable because this is a person that's providing for me. And that takes a lot of work with kids, mentally, physically, and spiritually, you know, because you become a servant. But the other person is a servant to you also. But it seems like they flipped it as to saying, well, this person, you know, gets four because you earned this, but it's not equal. But personally, I just feel like they should get something. If she's the wife and she was there, she should get something, but it doesn't mean she needs to take half of what you acquired and made. If she didn't bring half
third?
That energy.
What about one third?
One third, I guess, could be right or used, you know, based off of that. Or it should really be based off of what type of life did she live before that. You know, because you became accustomed to something after that life. You know, as far as this case is concerned, I don't know the story, but I believe his wife was a lawyer or is a lawyer.
And was married to an NBA basketball player, Fidel Treat. So she's no
okay,
dummy.
So, right. So as far as I'm concerned, on this particular thing, I think that he just made a bad choice because you just walking in with someone that's educated and probably just waited. You know, I'm a wait.
She waited 24 years and a kid? 24 years and a daughter?
I don't know. I'm speculating. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know the dynamics, you know, but I'm just saying there's a lot of people out there that do that. I mean, look at Bill Cosby and all these other people. Some people can wait. I'm going to wait for my payday. I just need this person to get comfortable enough and for me to create the environment, you know. I'm going to create the environment. I don't know what their problems were. I don't know if it was sexual in nature or they just got a difference of opinion on raising kids or business or, you know, whatever it is. And even if it's sexual and a man is out there and he's having all these other women, everything, we still need to question, all right, so what's going on in the household? Not giving him the right to go out and do what he's doing, but it still need to be questioned, like, okay, why did you do this? Why
still
were you having these
divorce.
Extra things?
Right. Still grounds for divorce. Because some people can't.
It's still
take
grounds
that.
For divorce?
Yeah, that's infidelity. That's one of them.
Yeah, I understand that.
Number one.
Right. Right. But also, women that withhold sexually to create that. So we don't know. We don't know all the dynamics.
I could imagine.
You know what I mean? Some women.
I could imagine a woman not upholding her marital responsibilities in the bedroom. That would be grounds for divorce, too. I don't know, but I've never been married. I'm not a divorce attorney. But I think if you're
married,
not acting like you're married. Okay. I'm saying, you know, I can imagine that's not acting in the capacity of being married if you're not, you know, satisfying your mate sexually. Withholding.
Well, something came to mind. You know, like they say, most marriages go through a certain phase. Like you said, you have your 5 years, and then you have that 20-year. You know, within the first 5 years, you kind of find out where things are going. Now, for people of lower financial status, is normally finance. So they can't talk that. Well, maybe this is over finance. You know, so they need to just go deeper. We need to find out what it's about. You know, a lot of times people are protected. They protect themselves. You know, a lot of these guys, they done so much other stuff out there. Other people got stuff on them. They don't even want to open up their mouths about what is what. You know what I mean? So they just accept it. Oh, I'm just going to pay her, you know, $50,000 every 2 weeks or whatever, you know, just to save face. But I think people need to know a little bit more about what it actually is. It's just not a difference of opinion. You know, like you said, 24 years and a kid, you know, like, what are they really arguing about? What's the real problem?
So, and it was kind of sudden, they said, because it just celebrated the anniversary
right.
of the marriage, and then this came up. So she found something, she saw something, you know, or was she just, like you're saying, waiting? I mean, it could have been something old that she was just waiting and just couldn't wait till she got her ducks in order. I don't know what happened. Or it could be all of a sudden for her also. You know what I mean?
Right.
She could be as, her life could be as disrupted as Dre's if it was an instance where he's being unfaithful or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna put it all on Dre.
I'm not trying to make Dre be a bad guy because maybe she's unfaithful. I don't know. Throwing boots on the ground.
But they make it easy for, you know, for people to separate and get out of things. It's, you know. They don't really celebrate marriage as they say they do in this country. You know what I mean? Or people. Everybody is discarded easily. You know what I mean? And I think of it, this will be a good story to find out what the marriage divorce rate is in other countries of people wealth, because it seems like America is really high as opposed to other places. You know, like, why are these people out there able to, huh?
I see where you're coming from.
So that makes me think.
You're saying that
like
America is pretty lenient on that subject. That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
America is pretty lenient with the whole, like, you know, when some people say, I don't want to, like, irreconcilable differences. You come to court with that. Why aren't they just saying, well, we don't care about that? If you try to hurt you, if you're not doing anything like that, you're still married. You're not getting a cent. That's what you're saying, right?
Right.
They make it easy for people to get out because you can get out and cases are where a person is wealthy, you can continue to be wealthy, and maybe possibly might possibly not have contributed a dime to that bank account or account.
Sometimes
wealthy people keep their money in the bank or not. So,
I'm gonna go into something else too that's kind of not looked at, but a lot of these cases, why is it that the women always seem to be able to say, and I have a child or this? If the father has the money, why is the child going with someone that the child can't maintain the lifestyle with that the child is used to? So it should stay with the person that has the ability to give that child the lifestyle that the child is used to. But they seem to always award the children to the mother.
Well, Britney Spears doesn't have her children.
Like I know, always, and I was about to
mention that. Yeah.
That's an exception, right.
Right. So but in any that's supposed
case,
to be...
In any other case, best, it's always...
That's the best interest of the child. So that's the way that somebody is just saying, okay, what's the best... What would be in the best interest of these children? To primary caregiver, we got to establish that. Who's that going to be? Where the kid going to go to school from? Blah, 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 right?
Right.
So where's that going to come from? So they're going to look at the child being stable, being safe, stable, and things like that, right? So,
right.
Okay, so you're going to school with that neighborhood, you're going to school. Okay, so why are we going to uproot this child? Mothers are just as competent as the father, so no need to uproot children. So they might look at it like that.
Well, like I said, most of the time this is always about some money, you know, because there's places and people who separate from each other, especially in Europe. Europe is known for that. People get separated and they still be the best of friends. You know what I mean? And walk away and continue.
Do you get alimony?
Like here.
Do they get alimony in Europe?
They get the alimony, you know, but it's
okay,
on a, they get the alimony, but it's never outrageous. You know, it's nothing outrageous. It's based off of, okay, well, this is, you know, you're going to live this type of life. You know, you can't say, I don't want to live with this person no more, but I want an $80 million home. Okay, so you get an $80 million home, and what's your job that's going to maintain an $80 million home? You're no longer married to the person that brings in the money to maintain that home. So why are you getting money to go get another $80 million home and you don't have the career or the finance to bring it? So you're still connected to this person. Go back and be married to him. That's the way I look at it.
But that's an interesting question there, because I had even a question myself about in the spirit of, okay, half of what I have is yours, right? So so as a journalist put it, Nicole may be ready to forget Dr. Dre, but not the fortune they amassed during their marriage. But another thing married couples amass is debt. So in the spirit of marriage, right, or the marriage contract, I guess two becoming one is also a religious concept, right? Which
right.
If whatever one spouse earns belongs to the other spouse, shouldn't the spouse inherit the debt also? Seems a little like one-sided to me, not inheriting the good and the bad, the better and the worse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how you divide the spoils of marriage or war, I think, that you don't just divide the good. You take the debt. That's like robbery to me. Why isn't that person inheriting that person's debt? All
right? Right.
So I think, you know, if you're going to, you know, if you... you know, are entitled to half of that person's income, you must be entitled to half of his debt.
And that'd be some of the reasons some of these people get out, because they can see they're coming. Oh, hold up. They're about to fall. I need to get out now. I need to cash out. The stocks is, you know, dropping. I need to get out, cash out.
until they don't make sense to me. Nicole gets the, in the case of Dre and Nicole, Dre has these bills that he's accumulated. None of those are Nicole's. Not one of them. And or anybody. Bezos, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, the bills that they create, they don't belong to the spouse.
Mm-hmm.
You get all the bills. Right. And you get, you know, that sounds kind of like, just because it's legal, it needs to be tweaked a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's $2 million a month in spousal supports, right? Then she's got this long list of things, like you said, over 100,000 in charity. You know, like, if you're not working, how do you spend $2 million a month? That's an oxymoron. Like, I'm unemployed, but I spend $2 million a month. No, somebody gives you $2 million a month, right? Because you're not working.
Because
she's not filling out an income tax form, is she?
Well, I don't know.
Well, she can only file a joint return if she works.
Right.
Right? So if you don't work, you can't file a joint return. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if she's not working, then even IRS taxes got to be paid as Dre. How come she don't got to pay taxes on that money? You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
A lot of money, and she wants him to pay for the attorney fee. They said that cost totaling about $5 million. Now, somebody told me again that I'm so poor that I'm incapable of envisioning why it would be reasonable for anyone who married to a billionaire to request or need $2 million a month, $24 million a year. I say spending $2 million a month is legitimate grounds for divorce. Just that alone. That's grounds for divorce. And say, I don't care if I got $10 billion, you're not going to explain to me why you're spending $2 million a month. Right? That's unexplainable. And it's a shame that marriage has to come to become no more than a legal contract, like a recording contract or something like that, or actors. Partner contract, plumber's contract. You know, what's love got to do with it? You know, what it seemed like. You know, love's supposed to be the magnet that attracts people, the energy that brings them together. Love is that special something that makes you do foolish things. And here we are at divorce court. You understand what I'm saying? For whatever reason, right? Because Nicole was already married, right? She was married to this guy, Sadell Cheat, and she left him to be with Dre, right?
Right.
So right there, that's a red flag. Dre already understands that she will leave her husband, right?
Right.
Right. She will dissolve a marriage. She don't have no problem with that.
So
he
should have
had a prenuptial, huh?
But here's a question. When she was in the other marriage, what did she leave with? And what did she do with that money? Because if she took that money that she left with and she said, all right, well, I'm with you, Dre, and Dre said, listen, I want to build this company. I want to, I want 18 recording studios. I got my Beats headphones. And she took some of that money and invested that with him, and they invested that together. Then... yeah, I can see she's as a business partner because, yeah, she may have lost something because she had, something coming from a previous marriage, which kind of goes with the Eddie Murphy and Babyface. You know, Eddie Murphy end up marrying Babyface's wife, or yeah, I think it was that way around, something like that, or dating her. But she didn't want to get married to him because she would lose the alimony from Babyface. That's what it was. She would lose the... I think that's how it went. Yeah, but either way, she would lose the alimony. So she didn't want to get married.
She didn't want to lose her cash cow by marrying Eddie Murphy.
Her cash cow. Right,
Eddie Murphy, is he married now?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering if he said, well, you don't want to marry me. You don't feel good enough about marrying me. I'm out. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's off subject anyway, but that's interesting. So she also wants the spousal report to be retroactive from September the 1st. So she wants to enjoy the lifestyle. She said that she was enjoying doing marriage. She said she had difficulty paying her bills because Dre controls her assets, their assets, and it has been exerting financial control over his ex by ordering his agent to scrutinize her bills before he decides if he approves them. Any bills. That's the sign that she doesn't value the money. You know how some people, if you don't earn the money, you don't value it? Because it sounds like she just spends a lot of money. That's not a good look, as I said.
I said it's normally about the finance. So a lot of times people hear it and they think, well, it's the woman, you know, she's not getting anything. I mean, that the man's not bringing anything to the table, but this is the reversal. You got a man that's bringing something to the table, but you also got a person that's probably spending too much. And he's listen, I'm going to put you on a, you know, stipend. This is how much you're going to get, and that's it.
Right.
You know, but she want more. And apparently she is showing greed. That's just straight greed for what she's asking for.
That's making her look suspicious, at least. You know, so she's not married anymore. Therefore, she shouldn't expect to live the same lifestyle she did when she was married. Now, so a solution to all this spending, spend less. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to spend $2 million a month. You can't explain that and sound like you're in your right mind. Remember, she's no longer in the same financial situation that she was in. When she was married, it's unrealistic to expect to live the same lifestyle you lived when you were married, especially if you want a divorce and sign a prenuptial agreement. They say she might have signed something like that. At least Doc agreed to provide for her, right? And I'm guessing Nicole doesn't live in the projects or the hood. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She lived better than most Americans live. You know what I'm saying? And they said that Nicole doesn't work. Attorneys claim she played an important role in Dre's career and was integral in naming his record label Aftermath. Now, played an important role in the career. What does that mean, number one? And naming the record company Aftermath means absolutely nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because, number one, Hello?
Yeah. I was wondering what type of lawyer she is. Because, I mean, if she's an entertainment lawyer or a corporate lawyer or, you know, and she helped financially with overlooking the contracts and, you know, and maybe gave advice as a consultant or something like that. I can't see how she was instrumental in a record company. That could easily be verified just through the artist. Hey, listen, she wasn't in no vocal booth. She wasn't writing no lyrics. She wasn't engineering. She wasn't what? You know what I mean? Like,
unless she did some of those things or some contract work or something, you know, because we know
or accounting.
The people that really we know about is Dr. Dre. Your accountant doesn't make you instrumental in somebody's success. You pay your accountant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So if she did accounting for his business, he should have paid her. You understand what I'm saying? Is it her business or is it Dr. Dre's business? You understand what I'm saying? I got the feeling that it's Dr. Dre's business. The actual business, it's not in her name. It's in his name. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, the people that helped him out, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, MC Ren, Yellow Boy, the DOC, all them guys, and the Jimmy guy with the headphone deal. So those are the people that helped Dr. Dre make money. But, you know, his wife, I don't know what she did, you know, but she's saying she played an important role, but she didn't say exactly what that was. But we know naming the record label Aftermath is a stretch. You know what I'm saying? Because I hope it's not true that, like you said, she doesn't work. because it implies she had no value in the business affairs of Dr. Dre. Because they say she doesn't work. So if she was important in his business, why isn't she still working in it? You understand what I'm saying?
Huh? Yeah, because if you want to maintain that money, you important.
So they say she doesn't work. So which is it? She's in the business or she doesn't work? It implies she had no value in the business affairs of Dr. Dre and was simply a cat woman and a trophy. She's a hell of a trophy of the last 24 years, though. That's why I question, man, would a person sit around for 24 years, have a kid by somebody, just to take a large portion of their, you know, just to earn money from the marriage? You know, that ain't even a chess game. I don't know what kind of game you call that. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of hard to believe she's the attorney. What'd you say?
Battleship. You know that gang? You sank my battleship.
Oh,
I didn't
battleship.
See you coming.
Oh, man. Wow. I mean, it's just hard for me to believe she's an attorney and Dr. Dre could not use her in any aspect of his business. I find that. And it's your woman? Come on. And you love her? I mean, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't have boots on the ground. I have no business even talking about this man's business. You know, but just in case I did, you know what I'm saying? And it is a saying, God bless the child that got his own. Nicole doesn't have her own and is trying to control how the person who has his own money, right, spends his money.
Okay.
On top of that, if she doesn't want to be with him, she's going to have a problem with that as the objective. I'm thinking Dre or Dre would or has controlled the money when the marriage was good because she don't have no control over it. You know what I'm saying? Things like stop spending the money might not be something Nicole never heard. Then again, maybe she's never heard it. How else could she have developed such a ferocious appetite for spending $2 million a month if she actually did that? Because we don't even know if that's something how she, you know how you do. You say, we're going to ask for two and see if we can get one. You know, it could be just everything just blown out of proportion. Just a game that the attorney is playing. You know what I'm saying? So, James,
sorry to cut you off, but I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, $2 million a month. That's a lot. And that needs to be shown where that went to. And
but she
you
did.
Paying
she,
the taxes
she,
on that.
She showed it. She wrote it all down with all that. Why she need all that money?
So Flint, Michigan got clean drinking water.
No, Flint doesn't have clean drinking water.
That's
$2 million a month. Yeah, I know what you're saying. That she wants $2 million a month to throw away when we got people in Flint, King don't even have any water to drink, and that's a shame that we have But that's another show right there that we have people that have to have that throw parties off $1 million while Flint suffer. I think they got the water thing fixed in over in Flint lately. So you know, but Dr. Dre really is not that wealthy. You know what I'm saying? He's like a, I mean, like I said, Bezos got 140 some 138 billion. Steve, what's the bull name? What's the guy name? The vaccine.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates got 100 billion. I mean, in terms of being a wealthy, he's at the bottom of the totem pole. You know what I'm saying? He's just getting his billionaire club. So the whole thing about him kicking around at a house in the middle of the night, I think that's kind of rough. They got about a couple of houses. He kicked around that particular house. You know, come on, y'all got like a bunch of houses. Like, come on, don't be that. Guy, you know what I'm saying? I understand he's hurt. Somebody's hurt, wounded in the heart, you know. And you know, my question is, I wonder who saw who walking in the rain, holding hands with someone new. Now their life will never be the same. As the song goes, you know, there could be a lot of pain on both sides. Both of them could be pain. Even if he was unfaithful, he still don't want to lose his wife. We know how that go. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, he could be in pain from that, you know, or she could be in pain from him, from his infidelity. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, I'm going to go someplace else with you. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I'm not going to win at 9:30.
Well, it's mighty funny that, you know, a lot of talk is going around about the bring down of wealthy black men. And it's kind of funny that this is all of a sudden happening to him, because they say once you get a certain amount of money, you enter into a whole new league and club. And it seems like, you know, certain people are being targeted, you know, for their wealth and being brought down. So I wouldn't be surprised if someone was in her ear, you know, depending on what Dre did to get to become in that club of a billion. You know, someone else said, listen, you work with me, I'll make sure you get this. He's come, we're going to bring him down. Someone else, you know, want, you know, position or want him out of position. Because,
well, you know, he's
almost accepting to give her this. And that makes me wonder, what does someone have on you?
Well, he earned his money. I mean, like, you know, I don't know what kind of, I don't know if he did any cheat nobody in the business or not. I don't know all that stuff. But I'm just saying, we know the guy made some money in the music business because he had in that NWA thing, right? He's a producer, right? Rapper, producer, did Snoop, did some Tupac. So he was in on a lot of things that made money, right? And then he had that headphone deal. The Beats Music headphones, which he owns a percentage of in stock in that. So he's going to make money just on that alone. Right? So we don't know if he cheated, right? Or he doesn't want to be in a relationship. It sounds like, I don't know what it is. You know, we don't know what it is, but you know, you never know. They might get back together.
Well, I was going with that. It's just mighty funny at this particular time that a lot of these wealthy black men are being hit financially, from R. Kelly, Bill Cosby, Prince, Michael Jackson, various people, and now even Oprah Winfrey. So
okay.
I'm starting to think, yeah. Yeah, she's falling into some trouble.
Oh, is she? Get out of here. That's interesting.
Yeah, falling.
I got a theory for that too. But you know what? I'm thinking. First, I was going to say no, because that's his wife for 24 years. But then again, how they could get Dre is to bait him with another woman, destroy his marriage, then go like that, and you know, and then she's
right.
$2 million a month. So I mean, what? How good would it be somebody to have $2 million or $24 million a year from Dre in a divorce? It's not going to kill him. It's going to be a gash in his income, but he's still going to be a very rich guy. Huh? That's
right.
Not taking him down. Like Cosby's taking down. I don't know what Oprah's problem is.
Well, so I'm just speculating, you know, looking at it and saying that it's just strange during his time, you know, all kinds of things going on. But like you said, I don't know the dynamics of what they're going through, but I do know this much, and I don't mean to be graphic about it, but I don't know no $1 million coochie. And if it is some out there, then I know some upset women out here who's like, what? Like, how's that possible?
$2 million.
Oh, $2 million? Oh, my mistake. Well, if I was Dre, you can get this divorce, but I'm holding insurance on that. So nobody can touch that. Like, yeah. You know how to patent it. You better patent it or something. So.
Yeah, it's weird. To me, it's a weird thing. But as my friend reminded me, I can't fathom why a person should get $2 million a month. You know what I'm saying? in alimony because my mind is too small, because my pockets are too small to even perceive such a legal intervention. You understand what I'm saying? So maybe that's my problem, but it just sounds suspicious to me, you know. And especially since all this, we don't know what happened. We don't know if this is an accumulation of 24 years of this guy messing around with different chicks. We don't know if it's 24 years of just a bad marriage. We don't know what it is. We don't know, or we don't know if it's something that she found out. She thought that wasn't going to happen, and then she found out, oh, hey, Joe, you still, what? He, what? We don't know. So I don't know what it is.
Well,
but, you know, like, one good point I think you made was that they should make them stay married, make them honor their marriage contract. That's a contract, too. Work it out for better or worse. This is the worst part. Work it out. That's an interesting concept right there. Once you marry, you stay married. Till death do you part. You don't just say that. It is that.
It is that. Yep.
But you can't make people together.
Well, in some ways, he still is married to her, even though she's seeking a divorce, because they did not sever the connection. His money is still connected. He still is connected to her. You know, I'm still connected to you. Money got to go to you. So the next person that come along, guess what? You still receiving something. So we still connected. Now, disconnected means you get a lump sum payout, and that's it. That's it. It shouldn't be no $2 million a month. That means you're still connected. No. Here's what she going to get. I'm going to give you $100 million. That's it. We done. You go your way. We done. That's it.
That's interesting, Paul, because
you know,
I think Bezos' wife's got $38 billion. Since you say you can't imagine a $2 million coochie. Well, try $38
billion.
Yeah. But he's done with $38 billion. He'll never have. She can't ask him for a dime.
Right.
But if she does ask him for a dime, she should be locked up. After he gave her $38 billion, they should, you know.
First off, no one should be able to make. No judge should be able to enforce any amounts of sum like that, period. I don't care. No. No, you have to prove. You have to absolutely prove that you are worth that and that you – no, no, no. This is just that financial game, and this is that European game that they like to play, because it doesn't make sense. It does not. You can meet a person on the street, and you worth billions of dollars, and you marry them, and they ain't never did anything but, you know, show you some affection physically or whatever. And now somebody else comes along and says, well, you know, I feel as though they should have half. So I think these judgments from these judges, somebody, that should be a law. Like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. That don't even make sense.
Well,
I want to see more cases
legal
with men.
It's legal, brother.
Yeah, well, if whatever they call legal, it's under their rule. That's what they're doing. So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm gonna say how I feel. She get $38 billion. That judge and lawyer, somebody disappearing. That's just how it is.
He got 100-something billion, man. He can't even feel. Bezos has so much money, he don't feel $38 billion. Unless he's the guy that spends buying continents or something, you know. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
I mean, but he got so much money, he can't feel that. But Dre can feel that $2 million a month though. He's not that rich.
Of course not, because a lot of this stuff is based off of the credit. It's based off of credit, and it's based off of stocks. And the stocks fall, and he can lose all of that. He can go belly up, you know. Or however he's getting the money, sponsorships or whatever, people pull out, boom. He ain't worth that no more. You know what I mean?
Which is an interesting question, because what if Dre loses all his money. Now all he has is $1 million.
Well, I guess she owned him.
I'm just saying that
he become her
seat. I mean, he had a $2 billion. He got a $2 million alimony debt, but he's only earning, you know, what if he's only earning, just to make it like $2 million? What if he did that alimony thing change? Like child support said, can't pay you. She wants all of my money. He said, for me to, I don't even have the lifestyle I used to have. So, you know, if she was with me, she would be living in, not in the project, but a couple of blocks away from it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Would that change for her? That situation changed? Anyway, you know, it's kind of crazy. And I don't know, like, what made me take a look at it is how much money she was asking seems astronomical to me. And I was like, wow, she like, I wouldn't have the nerve to say I need $2 million, because I can't explain why I need $2 million a month. I wouldn't even put myself out there like that. You know what I'm saying? If I was married to a billionaire woman, I wouldn't do that. Like, yo, I was like, oh no, I wouldn't tell nobody I'm spending all this money, like $130,000 in clothes. Really? A month? That means you don't use washing machine. Anything you wear, you throw it away or give it away. You wear it once and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, that's that makes her look bad to me. Some of the stuff she was
saying. Yeah, because I would like to know what Dre spend a month. For the person is, let's see what he's spending his money on in a month.
You know what? I would like to know that too. I wonder that if he makes his. I could say I'm a billionaire. And, all right, so I'm being frivolous. I might throw a party cost $1 million. Not me, but I'm just saying, you know, put myself in a billionaire state of mind. A dude that's used to spend a lot of money, and $1 million may not mean that much to them. But if I'm a billionaire, $1 million mean a lot to me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a multi-billionaire where I spend $1 million and it don't take me out of being a billionaire. You know what I'm saying? I'm not
right.
That guy. I'm just a guy that's creeping into the billionaires club. So I don't want to be me. I don't want to be spending money like that. You know what I'm saying? So if I spend $2 million a month, guess what I wanted to be doing? Generating money.
Generating money. Yep.
And this girl is a lawyer. It's like, it sounds like he. If I didn't know him, but I would say he married a hood chick, and she just wants some money because she don't sound like she's you know, it sounds like she just sound like, I just want this money to do these, to live this way, and I want to spend this amount of money in clothes. And it's like she's.
How's that going to maintain? I'm sorry to cut you off, but if she's not bringing in no money, but she's dishing money out, how are you going to maintain that lifestyle? That's not possible.
No, Dre's going to maintain it. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. You know, that's the part of the issue I had with, like, yo, I wouldn't have the
nerve
to say I need $2 million a month. I wouldn't have the nerve to say it to somebody.
She needs to stay in the marriage. You ain't doing that. You want to maintain something, and you can't even take care of it on your own?
Right.
You want to give away $100,000 a month?
Right.
You need to stay married.
That's right.
Get your behind back inside there. Stay married. Y'all come up with a new arrangement. I don't care. You know, hey, he cheating or whatever. Y'all need to, you know, do a Will and Jada and, you know, free contract sexually. You know, this is what you do. This is what I do. And we come together on this. But, yeah.
And then she wants them to pay for a court. That's like paying to rob itself. Why wait? That's to me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things that she wants from him, it sounds like it's they are red flags about her as a person. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. And why is it $5 million? Why is it $5 million for two people to sit down and say, all right, we're not going to be together no more? What is the lawyer doing that's $5 million?
He's not doing nothing. It's robbery.
It's robbery.
Yeah, it's robbery. She wants Dre to pay for the attorney that's arguing against him. That's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? He's going to pay for his own robbery. He's going to put a gun to his own head and rob himself of $2 million a month. You know what I'm saying? Makes no sense. And it makes her look, to me, that makes her look bad. Some of the requests that she's making, it makes her look like she is a money-grubbing type chick. Or she became a money-grubbing type chick. Because, look, she was already married to an NBA basketball star, right?
Right.
Then she jumped ship to Drake, who's has probably had much more money than this dude. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Well, all I got to say is this, man. And it's for Tiger Woods and all the rest of them. There's some chicks out in the hood that treat you good.
Hey.
You have to pay for that. So.
All I want to say is one thing. Before we get off the air, we got like 4 more minutes. Only one thing I want to say. And that is Jeff Bezos paid $38 million to his wife, Mackenzie, right? Now he's worth he was worth $184.9 billion, right? It said now in 2003 he's worth $145 billion, right? I mean, can you say prenup? Can you say prenup? There's nothing wrong with a prenuptial. It has nothing to do with I don't love you. It has something to do with it might rain, so we need an umbrella. You understand what I'm saying?
That's
nothing to do with love, and it has everything to do with love, as you said. You know, it means I love you, and it don't mean that I don't love you. It means that we need to look at this situation, in reality, not through a veil of love. Because the veil of love will mess you up, but lift the veil and always, you know, look at life as a real thing, because it is. It's real, and it's gonna do what it do. You know what I'm saying? As I said, can you say prenup? I think prenup should be mandatory for people who have deep pockets. And you know, with that,
you know,
being said, make it quick, cause I gotta go. Go ahead, bro.
What hit me is I'm wondering why he didn't do a prenup, knowing.
Well, they said he did do a prenup.
Environment.
They said he did in one article, and another article said he didn't. I don't know if he did, if he didn't. I don't know what the situation is. But she's saying she signed it under duress with Mike. If he made her sign a prenup, when he forced her to do something, then that prenup could be nullified by the court. But duress, I don't know what that means. That's just another word you're throwing out there. You know what I'm saying? To make a point, to validate you doing something, to validate, not ignoring the prenup. That's what I'm saying. That's like I feared for my life, so I shot him. You know what I'm saying? That's one of those words. She's using all the right words, you know? And with that said, I got to go out say goodbye to y'all. I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening in. Thank Mr. We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenneth Jones, and Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to host this show. Until next week, y'all, I'll see if I can find a lighter subject. If I can, I'll be back with some gloom and doom. Until next week, y'all, peace.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.